Willkommen bei Remote Leadership, der zweiten Staffel des Chief of Anything Podcasts von und mit Michael Portz und Christian Kohlhoff. Für alle, die auf Entfernung führen oder arbeiten und dabei noch mehr erreichen wollen.
Hi Marina.
Hi Christian, hi Michael.
Hey Marina, great to meet you. How are you doing?
Hello Michael. Yeah, thanks and welcome Marina Beshanova. Beshanova, I tried to learn it.
And you did well.
Thank you very much. So who are you and what do you do?
So my name is Marina Beshanova. You pronounced that so well, and that warms my heart because my Eastern European last name in North America, I live in Canada, gets massacred all the time. Very often, I don't even know that somebody is calling my name when I'm in a government office or something. Sounds very different. I'm an entrepreneur, and I help other entrepreneurs, specifically Gen X entrepreneurs, stand up, stand out, and be radically authentic through the power of their personal brands. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. And only in these few words, I guess, there's the secret for a nice podcast episode today because I saw Michael smiling. So Marina, we met first in Macau in person, I guess it was for the GSEA, for the Global Student Entrepreneurs Award, where you were organizing and judging, and I was judging. And after that, you agreed to be a mentor for me in personal branding. And I'm still super grateful for the opportunity you gave me.
Now I know where I know you from. You were in that movie.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. Please say that again.
Yes. Earlier before we started recording, I know you from somewhere. I couldn't place you. Yeah, I watched a movie from the Global Student Entrepreneurs. What was it called? On the Room, the Disney movie. I love that, by the way. You were in there, right?
Yeah.
You were famous.
You recognize me from a movie. I'm going to cut out this part of the podcast and have my kids listen to it. Because, you know, what justifies for all the time away and all the travel I do as a business owner are those moments where they feel I'm famous or I do something extra cool. So when the movie came out, On the Room, I was fortunate to be a judge in it. And I participated, as you mentioned, Christian, and organizing a lot of the things. So I was in the film. And when it came out during the pandemic, I was trying to get my kids to watch. And they were running around and not paying much attention. And all of a sudden, in the film, one of the guys, Steven, says, Marina, where's Marina? And my children were floored. And I look at them and said, here's the validation. Because I remember that trip too, when my kids were making me feel guilty. Everyone around me, why are you going so far without your kids? You're a mom, you should stay home. I said, that's my moment of validation. So I will share this part of the podcast with them as well.
Yeah,
wonderful. You're famous.
I am cool. Now. Disney princess at last. Yeah, all the way from the Soviet Union to Disney. Who would have thought?
So great. So Marina, you are based in Montreal.
I am now.
Yeah. And what does remote leadership mean for you? What do you think when you think about remote leadership?
You know, it's a really interesting question. When I co-founded a business 11 years ago, my first business was in the HR space. Everything was about company culture, teams, growing teams. And so I thought that what I really wanted to do was manage teams and have, you know, people around me. When the pandemic hit, our business got massacred overnight. You know, we went from feeling on top of the world. We had a gorgeous office, a team. We had presence. We had another person on the west coast of Canada. We were just doing so great that in February of 2020, I applied for a master's program. Just life was good. I had free time. And then when the pandemic hit, our business went to zero, actual zero. All of our projects were put on hold. We had not been at zero when we started the business. We started the business because our services were demanded, required, requested. And so we said, okay, what is going to be the company name? We need to incorporate. And so we always had clients. All of a sudden, we had zero. And I was lying in bed and I was feeling like, you know, I'm a failed business owner. And what is going to happen? What is going to happen to the business? Had to put people in temporary layoff, had to shut down the office. All that was going through my mind. And as I was going through that period of intense self-reflection in March and April and May of 2020, most of us did in one way or another, regardless of how the pandemic hit us, we were all asking ourselves a lot of questions. I realized that what really mattered to me and what leadership was to me was not having people sit at desks all around me. So once the business started recovering and once I launched a new business that is now thriving, I realized that what I wanted to do, my vision, my mission for a business is to build fully remote, fully distributed teams and have no people on payroll, no employees, nobody in person, and just a completely distributed team, which was a huge shift for me. I would have never predicted it.
Wow. So that was a big change you went through with your business.
It was humongous. It was one of the lowest part, one of the lowest experiences of my life. You know, the first weekend when they sent us into lockdown, I spent the entire weekend in bed. I couldn't function. I just, all I could think about is I am a failure and I'm a loser. And I really felt it was just me as a business owner. I really felt for some reason, and I felt that for the longest time, that everybody else was thriving, pivoting, figuring it out. Everybody was prepared. And I was the only one who didn't see it coming. And all of a sudden, I'm not a real leader. I'm not a real business person. I'm fake. I'm not a good parent because all of a sudden I can't parent. There I am, you know, and I can't function. It took me a bit of time to readjust and see a completely different vision for myself and my business.
How did you deal with those? I mean, those are strong emotions and feelings. How did you lead yourself through that to come out on top again?
So first of all, there was a lot of crying most of the night. So I have to admit the truth as well. You know what's really interesting? What pulled me out of the fog at the very beginning and that what ended up sustaining me. So when it first happened and I was completely paralyzed and in bed, at one point I pulled out my phone and I went on LinkedIn. Okay. So I was so crippled with anxiety that I could barely talk to anybody. I couldn't pick up the phone and call anybody. I was just completely just in the grips of anxiety. But I love writing. And so I thought that I would write. And I believe in radical authenticity, as I call it. I believe in putting myself out there and sharing what's going on. So I wrote a post, which was likely my most radically authentic post, because I really shared how tough everything had become. I likely said the word tough about 8 times in that very short post, and I put it out there. And I don't know why I did. I just needed an outlet. I put it out there. And then the most incredible thing happened. I got flooded with messages. And certainly there were messages of love and support, which was great and I appreciated. But there were a lot of opportunities to collaborate, a lot of revenue generating opportunities, a lot of opportunities to not only lift up my current business, but also launch this new business that I had wanted to launch, but was waiting for my imposter syndromes to subside, waiting for better time, and all of those things, brand of a leader, my personal branding agency. And so I started getting pushed in that direction to do that. So that was number one. I all of a sudden realized that as I was losing my corporate brand, I had my personal brand. I had that brand equity and name recognition and community that was going to lift me out of this and help me, you know, see the light on the next stage. So that was number one. Number two, because all of a sudden we were sitting in our homes, we couldn't go out. I felt that I really needed to connect with people. So one of the things that I did is I launched a LinkedIn Live series where I was interviewing people from all over the world every single day. That is not something that we can do in our normal life. But all of a sudden, my calendar was wide open, so I could interview people every single day. And people who normally would have said no, all of a sudden said yes, because they too were sitting at home with a lot of free time. And so through doing that and putting myself out there, I started generating so much energy and clarity that was guiding me towards that next step as well. So that was the second thing that I did that made a huge difference, is just putting myself out there and creating that visibility and connecting. And then number three and the last thing that I did is again, on a complete whim, I don't know, the universe was guiding me to do some random things that I never would have done otherwise, is I created a Calendly account and took a link and put it online on LinkedIn. And I said, listen, I'm struggling. Likely you are too. If you need to speak, here's my calendar link. My calendar got flooded, as you would imagine. But what's interesting is that I spend my days helping people, serving, giving to others. To me, that is a form of leadership. It was nourishing my soul, and it was snapping me out of that fog that I was in. It was distracting me. I was giving to others. But what I didn't expect is all of a sudden, I started building relationships that were generating revenue for me and my new business and my current business as well. As I started putting myself out there, people thought that it was so incredible, this form of leadership that I was demonstrating, that they started gravitating towards me as well. So it was giving to others, but somehow it was all coming back to me as well. So those three things are what helped me quite a bit.
Oh, very inspirational. Thank you for sharing that, Marina. And so if I hear you correctly, your old business went from thriving and flourishing to zero. You then did these three things of going out and kind of telling the universe how you're feeling and what's going on. And the universe came back with new options and new business. And I understand your business now, Brand Over Leader, comes out of that. And then as you then went forward from that, what happened in the sense of how are you working now with other people and your team in ways that maybe before you couldn't have imagined of ever working like?
So one thing that I will share with you, again, very candidly, in the spirit of radical authenticity, something that I would have been embarrassed and ashamed to admit otherwise, you know, especially in groups of entrepreneurs, EOers. We always talk about leadership and how to be a better leader. And we know that 80% of people leave leaders and not companies, right? So leadership is very important. I am a terrible manager, a terrible people manager. I believe that nobody should be managed by me ever, and that is the value that I bring to society. However, I believe that I am a fantastic leader, and I believe there's a big difference between the two. It took me my whole career as an entrepreneur to understand that there is a difference between these two, and that it is possible to create a business where there's somebody who is a very strong people manager or integrator, sometimes we call it with EOS, and then somebody who is a visionary and can be the face of the business and can lead and can inspire. And so my new business is built exactly on that. So we are two co-founders. I lead. I am the thought leader in the business as well. That to me is another form of leadership. He's the one that manages people and works with them directly. What we're creating as far as our structure, our workforce structure, is we're building a team of contractors and freelancers. And what we're doing that is going to be fairly unique in the market is we are building a really unique internship program where we're grabbing those, you know, bright young minds. We're putting them through our internship program that really is unique in structure and very inspired by, you know, being an entrepreneur and having that thirst for learning. We expose them to an incredible amount of learning. We also are teaching them how to be freelancers when they graduate, if they decide to, because we know the gig economy is real, how to, you know, structure their business, how to invoice, etc. So we are training all of them to then have this pool of contractors that we can tap into as we continue growing our firm, our personal branding firm on a global level. So the BHAG, the Big Hairy Audacious Goal, one of them, I have a few, but one of them is to win an award for being the best place to work for young people with no payroll. That is a goal.
Okay, very cool. Very clear BHAG.
Is that still entrepreneurship then? So can you be an entrepreneur without people on the payroll?
It is such a great question. You know, this is what haunted me during the pandemic when I was in that mode of I'm not a real entrepreneur, I'm not a real business. See, entrepreneur, I believe you can be without payroll or even without a team, right? There's also solopreneurs. Now, is it a business? Are you a business owner, right? And especially when you're getting together with other entrepreneurs and what everybody's talking about is how many new people they hired or how many they're going to hire. And then you're thinking, I'm just building my pool of contractors. but it is the future. And it was already the future. The gig economy was already happening. And then the pandemic accelerated to exceptionally new levels. We're seeing the great resignation sweeping through North America, right? People are resigning. A lot of them are resigning and going to other jobs. They're still employed, but a lot of people are resigning and looking to be solopreneurs, to be freelancers, to build their own flexibility. I'm a huge believer in helping other people achieve that in their dreams versus believing that they have to be chained to an office desk in order to be a true part of the team and make true impact.
So what I like with this thought, it's more a horizontal relationship. So you have all those solopreneurs or other entrepreneurs and you work together in a collaboration. And that, that very deeply resonates to me. Well, Michael, look, perhaps to you as well.
Look, one of the biggest complaints that we hear from entrepreneurs, okay, this is a very common one, is, first of all, business owners are notorious for complaining about their employees. Right. Let's be honest. It's the one of the key topics of conversation, for better or for worse.
It's someone else's fault.
It is. And what do we hear? Right. And what do we hear as part of that is, I wish I could clone myself. Right. We hear that very often. And part of it can be narcissism. We, you know, that feeling of self-grandeur that if we didn't have, perhaps we wouldn't be advancing in our businesses either. But there's also part of us wanting our employees to be entrepreneurial, right? To take ownership, to, you know, hustle when need be, to be more resourceful, not just execute on tasks, but be entrepreneurial. So I was thinking, well, what if we can teach people to be entrepreneurial, but when it's just as direct, you know, paycheck and all those limitations that they have as employees, it's hard to be entrepreneurial, and you're not entrepreneurial, you're executing. So what if we could have, perhaps not clone ourselves, but surround ourselves with people who are entrepreneurial and have them lead our businesses forward with us.
In the intro, you talked about authenticity. So is this your way to be authentic? And by the way, what does authentic mean? we had some discussions about that. So what does authentic mean for you?
Well, authenticity, first of all, is predicated on self-awareness and knowing who we are and being really okay, vulnerable, and open with it. To me, that's what authenticity means, right? So if I, first of all, it took me a lot of self-reflection to figure out that I am not a good people manager at all. Mm-hmm. And then it takes a certain degree of authenticity to be able to share this publicly, right? Mm-hmm. Especially exposing myself there for my former employees or for my contractors to hear this and, you know, have a chuckle.
Or and, here in the podcast.
Right. And share this with people that they know. So there's vulnerability that comes with it. However, I believe that in leadership, authenticity is key because first of all, self-awareness is key, but authenticity is key because people can see through the masks that we wear. And it becomes really exhausting to wear masks all the time, to be showing some perfect face to our employees, to our suppliers, to our partners, to our contractors. I think that when we're able to tap into who we are and be really open and stand firm in it, now that brings benefits, but also it costs us sometimes, right? Same as when we live our core values very authentically. Sometimes it costs us as well. But I believe that true leaders do that really masterfully.
How do you do that remote? What is changing now? So, you know, I love all of what we're talking about, you know, authenticity and values, being values-based and having purpose and, you know, the horizontal relationships and being a collaborative model rather than an hierarchical model. Now, if I take all that together and I shake it up, so what's best practice right now for leading remotely?
Well, I believe, this will come as no surprise, but I believe that the power is in building a strong personal brand. Because when you build a strong personal brand, it is predicated on knowing who you are. It is discovered, personal brand is not built, it's discovered through a process of reflexivity, self-reflection, introspection. That's when you understand who you are at your deepest and most authentic self. Then you package that for the world, and then you start communicating it at scale through the channels that are relevant to you, right? If you're not building, if you're building your personal brand just within your organization, then, you know, your channels of communication are going to be more internal. But the goal is to build that brand of you, that thought leadership, that allows people to know who you are. So I believe that the strength is in building a personal brand. And then it doesn't matter whether you're managing people remotely, whether it's in person, whether you are a speaker in person, remotely, and how you're building your networks and communications. I believe it doesn't matter. I don't think that authenticity is communicated only in person within the walls of an office. I think it is communicated through any communication touch point that people have with you.
So that sounds like a nice new world. So we work in collaboration, all are horizontal, all the people are hugging. What doesn't work? So is there a downside?
What doesn't work in remote leadership?
Yes. Or in this brave new world you talked about?
I will tell you in a few years as I get closer to
perhaps you have already, I guess,
my BHAG or failing at it, right? Well, look, it's undeniable that communication is harder remotely and that building remote relationship is harder. It's absolutely undeniable. That energy that we have when we're communicating in person is very hard to replace, right? So we're replacing it with other things, but we can't replace it with anything really direct, right? It's very different. If we were sitting in the same room right now, the energy would be 10x, right? When I give talks, I give a lot of talks. When I give them virtually, in Zoom to a whole bunch of black squares versus being in the room where even if people go on their phones or they look aside, it doesn't matter. The energy is there. Same with employees, right? When there's an office and that buzz and that feel and that culture, not having that is really hard. So engagement is not quite the same. Buy-in is not quite the same. There are a lot of challenges that come with it. Now, I think there are a lot of positives. And I think, again, whether or not we want it, the trend has been pushing us that way regardless. But certainly it's not all the rainbows and unicorns and, you know, inspiring people when they're in the office with you, creating that energy, building that culture is without a doubt much easier to do in person.
What will the future be like? You know, if this change keeps happening at the rate it has been, what's your idea or your vision for the future? What will be like by, I don't know, 20, 30, 9 years from now? What will the world of entrepreneurs and of businesses and of people, will we even have any employees left then? Or so what's the vision for the future, Marina? What's your take on that? Where are we heading?
Do we go with a positive or the negative? which one will win today?
Right, it's a balance. You know, good and bad. So if you like, you know, what's the yin and yang?
Look, I think that as business owners, as entrepreneurs, we stand to benefit from those changes. I actually do. And as much as there's conversation about, you know, it's becoming really hard to hire, it's hard to retain people, you know, again, the great resignation, I nonetheless believe that we stand to benefit because all of a sudden, as far as hiring people, perhaps not permanently anymore for employee-like roles, but for hiring, the world has become our oyster. Whereas before, as an organization, if you hired people remotely, you had to kind of justify it. It might have looked like, you know, similar to manufacturing in Asia versus locally. You know, people would frown upon it. And now it's really normal. We can recruit, we can hire talent from anywhere in the world. There's fantastic talent in so many countries, and it's cheaper. Where there is a danger, which employees are not realizing, is that employees are becoming more replaceable in a sense, again, potentially by contractors. You know, when I saw that a lot of organizations were saying that they're moving to a fully hybrid model or fully virtual model, we were seeing it coming from many big organizations in Silicon Valley. And I saw so many people celebrating that online, celebrating that on LinkedIn and saying, oh my God, I now can continue working for Microsoft, but I can go and sit in any country in the world. And A, you can't. there's legislation around it. We just didn't know that at the beginning. It was really new. But for many companies, they can't have you sit anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. And then for taxation purposes, if you are an employee. And then B, I was thinking, well, they can contract your work out to anybody in the world. So all of a sudden, you're becoming a lot more replaceable, but people have not been noticing that. So I think the danger lies in employees having to constantly be more competitive. You know, we've seen through every, you know, industrial revolution, every of those, you know, big structural changes, we're seeing a lot of jobs being wiped out. We're seeing a lot of people completely having to reinvent themselves. And I think it's the time to do that now as well. So this temporary period of it seeming as though companies and leaders within organizations are struggling because of hiring and figuring it out. Once it's figured out, and once a lot of companies start doing what I'm doing with my organization, many people will have to adjust how competitive they are for the job market.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So is there anything that's important to say about remote leadership which we haven't talked about? Are there any thoughts you have about remote leadership you would like to share?
I believe that entrepreneurs and leaders within organizations need to pay particular focus to positioning themselves as experts or ideally thought leaders, ideally on the global scale. Because if we are going to inspire people to work for us or with us, or if we're going to inspire people to join our organizations to work for us or with us, I believe that we will do it through thought leadership and positioning ourselves as, you know, the leaders to work with or for, versus continuing to position our companies as employers of choice. Now, I think it's still important. I think same as, you know, corporate branding is extremely important. Employer branding still has its value. But I believe that personal branding and specifically focus on thought leadership is essential for modern leaders. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So we have this strategy model with purpose, vision, values, and we always talk about, so the purpose of the people in the company has to have something to do with the purpose of the company, of course. And perhaps that's another layer there. So you have a company or a business which is a thought leader, and you have all the people inside with their personal brand matching this brand of the company, perhaps.
Well, it is becoming essential for leaders because we are seeing that people are having more and more cynicism and distrust when it comes to companies, corporations, trust in corporations. But we still thankfully trust other people. You know, research shows mm-hmm. that when we've seen messages, for example, on social media that come from corporate accounts, I saw this one study and it said over 90% of people are not likely to trust that message that comes from a corporate account, but they will trust the message that comes from a personal account, even if it's a person they don't know. So we still trust other people more than we trust corporations. So building up brands of leaders within our organizations and our own as entrepreneurs, I believe is crucial and essential. I think that's the differentiating factor. And it also comes with, you know, you talk about purpose, vision, values, but how many leaders can name their own? How many leaders, when you ask them, what are your core values, tell you actual core values? You know what you usually hear? Honesty, family, and then you say, well, family what? And then you don't get much. And then you say, well, a core value is non-negotiable and it's 100% of the time, right? It's not most of the time or sometimes. It's all the time. That's why it's a core value. So when somebody, for example, says, and I was working, he was a senior executive within an organization, we were working on his personal brand, and I asked him what his core values were, he said family. And I said, well, is it 100% of the time? And he went on this monologue of Marina, family is important. I know family is important. I have a family too. I have two kids. I agree. But I said, is it all the time? When you're making decisions, because our core values guide us when we're making decisions, right? When you're making decisions, will family always come first? I gave him a scenario where family didn't come first because he is the type of person that never wants to live a life of regret. And so I said, well, there's your core value, living a life of no regret, which in your case, because you're a family man, means you will choose family 99% of the time, but your core value is living a life of no regret. So as leaders, when we take the time, so building a personal brand, it's not putting a bunch of posts up on social media. That's not what it is. It starts with figuring out who we are, what makes us unique, what makes us different, what value we're bringing to our employees and to our organizations. And then we use that to, you know, communicate in a radically authentic way. But it goes through that period first. So right now, if we're asking leaders, what is your purpose? Not just the organizations, but yours. What is your vision? What are your core values? And they can answer that question. But then we're expecting our employees to be able to memorize all of our company's stuff. That doesn't quite make sense. So I think the more inspiring way of doing that for leaders is figuring out their purpose, vision, values, all those different things, and then communicating that in a way that inspires their employees, permanent, contractual, doesn't matter, to do the same in their own lives as well.
Mm-hmm. And with that, we are back by the old Greeks. I don't know, was it Socrates, Plato, Aristotle? So know thyself and act accordingly.
Indeed, and usually we don't.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Marina. So at the end, I have a gift for you. So if you had the chance to send a message out to all the business owners, leaders, thought leaders, brand keepers out there about remote leadership, what would that be? The one message.
My message that I wish I could communicate to everyone and put on every billboard and put everywhere I can is, it is your time to stand up. It is your time to stand out. It is your time to be radically authentic. It is your time to build your personal brand and inspire through it.
Thank you very much, Marina.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed our interview, our talk today. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Das war Remote Leadership, ein Podcast der CoR Academy mit Michael Porz und Christian Kohlhof. Unser Programm und weitere Informationen findest du unter coR.academy.